Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today. Well, let's get into the Word this morning. If you will, would you turn with me to Psalm? That's in the left-hand side of your Bible, Psalm 103. We're going to continue in our series, He Is. Back when we started, I had originally planned on just a two-part series, but I just have sensed in my heart that we need to go maybe a little bit deeper into this corporately because it'll help us to stand together. How many know what I mean when I talk about standing together? I mean, through the thick and through the thin, you know, when we stand together, we're stronger because we can encourage one another. We can help each other. And you know what? We can engage in battle together through the things that life brings our way. Can I get a big amen?
Amen.
Amen. Can you do that the whole sermon?
Amen.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Amen. And so sometimes when we look at it, it kind of seems like a tall order. But, you know, our foundation is secure because we found ourselves, our ministry, our future on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's a sure foundation. He's what ties all of us together. The Bible says that He is the head of the church. Amen. That He is our Redeemer, that He is the reason that we exist as a family. He's called us and He's brought us together. We're not here by chance, but God Himself has placed us in this family so that we can do life together. And we need each other because there's times in life, both in the good and in the hard times, where even though we know who Jesus is, sometimes we need to be reminded of who He is. You know, sometimes you can get so focused on the blessing as well as the hard times or the challenge that it can cause us to be distracted and can kind of get us off course. How many has ever met someone who has a tremendous blessing in their life? Next thing you know, you find them drifting a little bit, right? Or they're in a big challenge. Things are going tough. I mean, man, everything is coming at them. And next thing you know, that you just kind of see them just little by little drifting. Well, God has called us to stand together so that we can speak over each other and pray one for another and encourage one another and help us to remember who Jesus is. Isn't that an awesome thought? And that's the goal of this series, is just to help us to bring back to our remembrance how awesome Jesus really is. I know sometimes life can get tough and the challenges can be tall, but there's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. And so far we've been looking at this, He is, and we found that He is. In other words, He is not just a fairy tale or a story about some guy a long time ago, but He is real. Amen. And He is now. In other words, though He exists in all of time, at the same time, He is with us right now.
Amen.
He is in my situation with me right now. He's in your situation with you right now. He's right there beside you. And I'm so thankful that not only is He with me, but He is able.
Amen.
We looked at this question, what can God do? And the Bible says that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly, far above what I can ask or imagine. And I'm so glad that also He is willing. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to help you, and He wants to bless you, and He wants to work through you to bless others. He is willing, and He is risen. We talked about that just a couple weeks ago, that He is risen. Though He was crucified and buried, today He's alive and well. And He is King. Amen. King of all kings and Lord of all lords. None can defeat Him. None can subdue Him. And do you know what? Nobody can stop our God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for that. And then finally, we looked at this, that He is our Savior. He gave His life for us so that He could help us to get back to the Father and make heaven our eternal home. Isn't that an awesome thought, huh? And so today in Psalm 103, if you're there, shout, let's do it. David is writing, and he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all our sins, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our lives from destruction, who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles." I was thinking about that the other day. I've been talking a lot about age, and I'm just getting checked, and I said, I got to stop talking about some mornings. It's hard to get out of bed. I got to change my confession because we're in this thing for the long haul. Amen. Amen. I believe God wants us to live a long and a happy and a prosperous life. And so I've been changing. I thank the Lord that You're renewing my strength like the eagle. Hallelujah. I thank You, Lord, that I'll have and not lack. I thank You, Father, that my family walks in health and in strength because that's His promise to us. The Bible says the Lord, He executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds to me like quite a resume. Yeah. Amen. Amen. How'd you like to have that on your resume? Huh? Yeah. But that's who Jesus is. But here's the question. Why would He, creator of everything, ruler over everything, lives in majesty that we can't even comprehend? Why would He do that for us? Why would Jesus give His life for us? That's the question. And He gives us just a glimpse as to why Jesus did this. In verse 8, here's what He says. He says, because He is merciful. He is merciful. Our God is full of mercy. Wow. Full of mercy. Now, mercy at its fundamental core is compassion. Compassion being that thing that is inside of us that will drive us to help someone when we see them in need or we see them hurting, whether it maybe is a homeless person or a family member who might be in need or we see somebody that's going through a hard time at work, whatever the case may be, you see their distress, you go past wanting to help them to actually helping them. You see what I'm talking about? Compassion takes you past the want to into the have to. And I'm not talking about obligation. I'm just talking about compassion drives you to a place of sincerity where you are honestly concerned about their well-being to the point to where you step in and help and bless and make a difference. I thank God for compassionate people. Amen. But I'm so much more thankful for mercy. And I say that because mercy takes compassion to a whole other level. You've heard the saying that they're at the mercy of the court. What that simply means is that they are at the mercy of the court because their actions have placed them under the judicial rule of someone who is in that court, speaking of the judge. They've been placed under the power of that court. And guess what? And they in and of themselves have absolutely no power at all to save themselves from judgment. And the judge of that court has the discretionary power to either condemn and pass judgment or to mitigate judgment or even to pardon. At the mercy of the court. A lot of people today consider themselves to be good because they don't steal or kill. They don't smoke or chew or date girls that do. Now that's funny right there. Come on. Yeah. They're faithful to their spouse. You know, they don't cheat on their taxes, all of these things. But the truth of the matter is this, is that God's law is perfect. And the standard of His law is so far above what we're able to do in and of ourselves. So what does that do? That places all of mankind at the mercy of heaven's court. The Bible says in Titus 3:3, at one time we were foolish too, and we were disobedient, and we were deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And we lived in malice and in envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things that we've done, but because of His mercy. Mercy. You see, compassion alone wasn't enough for our situation. We needed mercy. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. Because you see, when justice demanded that the penalty of our sin be paid, mercy stepped in and said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full. Hallelujah. He said, I'll set them free. I'll heal their broken hearts. And you know what? He said, I'll take their penalty upon me. Paul said it like this in Ephesians 2, though we deserved wrath, God, who is, I love this, rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ and literally raised us up with Him and has seated us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I'm so grateful for compassion, but I'm helpless without mercy. I needed some mercy this week. How about you? No wonder David wrote and he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name because He is merciful. He shows compassion for the guilty, but also He's gracious. Jesus is gracious. Now, when we think of someone who is gracious, we think of someone who's very courteous and they're kind and they're hospitable, and they just will open up, you know, whatever they have, and they are just so tender towards you. They're gracious. I know some gracious people, and it's wonderful to be around them because you feel so much better, and you're lifted up in their presence. But in the context of David's writing, this word gracious has this connotation of stopping and listening to the cry of someone who is hurting, someone who is in need. So it's like someone who doesn't walk by. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan. Two walked by, but one stopped. It's kind of like that, where they don't just walk by, but they stop and they listen to the cry of the hurting. In Mark chapter 10, we see an example of this. Mark chapter 10, they're about a week away from the crucifixion. And there's a lot that needs to be done in this final week. And so Jesus and His disciples, they're on the way to Jerusalem. And the Bible says in verse 46, there again, I'm in Mark chapter 10, looking at verse 46 and 47. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and His disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. And a blind man named Bartimaeus was sitting at the roadside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice what the crowd did. The Bible says that many rebuked him and told him to hush, be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. There again, remember the context of this writing. Jesus is about to be crucified. Imagine the weight of what's being placed on His shoulders right now. Knowing what He's about to head into. Knowing all that needs to be done that week. This is going to be a busy week because there's a lot to be done. And yet look at what Jesus does. Verse 49, the Bible says Jesus stopped. And he said, call him to me. So they called to the blind man. Everyone that was telling him to shut up is now telling him to cheer up. Ain't that just like people? That's why you don't get affected when they tell you to cheer up, because they probably are going to tell you to shut up pretty soon. That's good preaching right there. Boy, that'll get you through some hard days. Amen. They said, cheer up, the master is calling. So he threw his coat aside and he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. Jesus said, what would you have me to do for you today? The blind man said, I want to see. Jesus said, go, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus along the road. I don't know if you remember a few weeks back when we was talking about this same subject. And I made the statement that I've had many people in my life who are willing to help but not able. And I've had a lot of people who are able to help but not willing. Though they see the need and they hear the cry, they choose to walk by without rendering assistance. And man, that has discouraged me at times. Maybe you have experienced the very same thing. And maybe you have been discouraged in that very same way. But if I could take just a minute this morning and take our eyes off of that and on to Jesus Christ, because he is gracious. And there will not be a time where he will walk by and ignore the cry of his children. Amen. The psalmist says this, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and his ears are toward their cry. Though some will try to hush you and they'll tell you to leave the master alone. Can I tell you this morning, don't give up. Amen. Don't give in. Don't walk away. Don't settle for nothing but the best that he has to offer. But in faith, remember that he is and that he is close to you and his ears are listening for your cry. So cry out to him and make your petitions known. And then after you've done that, let the peace of God that passes understanding settle down into your situation and give you rest in your heart and in your mind. God is listening. God is listening. Finally today, the psalmist said, the Lord's merciful and he's gracious and he's slow to anger. Now this reference in this portion of scripture is referencing God's character. And here's the phrase that he's using. He's saying he is slow to anger. And this same phrase is found in several places in scripture, as well as many examples of God being slow to anger. And I'm sure that if we took the time today to go around the room, that each of us could recall many times in our own life where we've experienced God being patient with us. And I'm sure that each of us are truly grateful for God's patience in our lives. But if I could take the last few minutes of our time together today to remind us of a simple yet profound truth. And that's this, is that God's patience serves a purpose. God's patience serves a purpose. Amen. What we have to remember is that in God, nothing is random, including his patience. And the Holy Spirit gave Peter insight concerning this matter. And so Peter writes and he tells us this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord isn't slow about keeping his promises as some think that he is. But in fact, God is patient because he wants everyone. How many is everyone? Everyone is everybody that ever was and that ever will be. Everyone to turn from sin and for no one to be lost. What is God's will for the person beside you at work? Is for them not to be lost. What is God's will for your spouse? Is for them not to be lost. What is God's will for your children? Is for them not to be lost. What is God's will for everyone in the supermarket that surrounds you? It's for none to be lost. That's God's will. Is for no one to be lost, but for them to turn from their sin. Earlier in our series, we read in Acts chapter 17, and Paul was sharing the gospel with those in Athens. And he gave insight into how intricate God's plan is. Listen to this. He said, from one man, God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for each one of them and the exact places where they should live. Why would he do that? Here's what he says. He said, God did this so that men would seek him and reach out for him and find him. Then look at this, John 3:16. We all know it, but let me read it to you. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but he sent his Son so that through his Son they would be saved. He didn't stop there either, because Jesus said, I tell you the truth, John 16:7, that it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I depart, I will send a comforter. Hallelujah. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will tell you of the things to come. And we could go on as to the great lengths that God has gone to so that we may reach out to him and be saved. And in the midst of all of these things that God has done, the Bible tells us that to everything, he adds patience. Patience. And I would be remiss today if I just left it at that point, because the Bible, there again, back to that specific phrase that the Bible uses to describe God's patience. And here's what that phrase is that he's slow to anger. Now, you can take a car to Orlando, or you can walk to Orlando. Now, if you take the car, you're going to get there a lot faster, right? But here's the deal. Whether you take the car or whether you walk, you're going to get there. It's the same thing with this. The Holy Spirit warns us in Romans 2:4, and he says this, do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads us to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed, and God will give to each person according to what he's done. To those who by persistence continue to do good and seek his glory and honor, immortality and eternal life will be given to you. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow after evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of that in my life. I just soon not sign up for any more trouble and distress. For every human that does evil, first for the Jew, but then for the Gentile. But listen to this, glory and honor and peace will be for everyone who does good. Amen. So I would urge you this morning to be ever mindful of this simple fact, that there's a price to pay for sin and disobedience. There's a price to pay for burying your talents. There's a price to pay for walking past those whom God has called you to minister to and to share his love with. So what should our response be? Dad used to say this, don't play fast and loose with God. In other words, jump in. Be all in. Love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and strength. And as you have received mercy, give mercy. As he has been gracious and heard your cry for help, be gracious to others and listen to their cry and to help them. As he's been patient with you, show patience to others and do all this with his goal in mind. And that is that no one be lost, but that everyone, the whosoever will, Israel will receive his son and be saved and make heaven their home. Amen and amen.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about the warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he give you his peace.